Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. Last Sunday, we studied the words of Jesus during his last Passover meal with his disciples. Today, we will conclude our study by revisiting the words that establish the institution of the Lord's Supper in verses 22 through 26. In particular, I'd like to focus on the most simple and clear message of the gospel. In the Old Testament, during the Exodus, the Passover lamb was slaughtered and its blood was shed to save the firstborn sons of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Similarly, during the last Passover before his death, Jesus, as the last Passover lamb, shed his blood and gave his life to save us from sin, death, and slavery to Satan. The Israelites were led to the promised land of Canaan and lived with God as his people. In the same way, we as saints saved by Jesus are led to heaven, the eternal promised land, and will live with a triune God as his heavenly people for eternity. During the last Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus proclaimed that the day had finally come to achieve eternal heavenly salvation. After this supper, Jesus was caught, led to death on the cross as the last Passover lamb, and his body and blood were given as the food for our eternal life, thereby achieving eternal heavenly salvation. Jesus, who came as the last Passover lamb, shed his blood and died on our behalf, is our Savior who became a man like us as eternal God. His blood has the effect of eternal salvation. As we are hopeless, totally depraved sinners, we could never achieve salvation through our works. God himself became a man like us, took our sins, and achieved eternal salvation. If we could have added even a little to our salvation, there would have been no need for Jesus to come and die. That is why Jesus' death on the cross reveals that we are completely helpless sinners without hope. Jesus saves us from sin, death, and eternal damnation in hell by bearing our sins, dying and being judged in our place. This was the purpose of God's redemptive history and the reason why Jesus came to earth and went to the cross. Through Jesus, God allows us to participate in his death and the blessings of heaven. When Jesus took our sins and was judged, we are considered to have been judged and paid the full price for our sins. Therefore, all our sins could be forgiven, and we are united with him and enjoy the blessings of heaven. In today's text, Christ gives his disciples bread and wine, which symbolize his body and blood, allowing them to eat and drink them. By doing so, we participate in the death of Jesus and all the blessings of heaven achieved through his death. Like Apostle Paul, we too can confess that we have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the gospel of the cross, God unveils his immense love for us. Today's text demonstrates how Jesus expressed his love for his disciples by giving his body and blood. This is the love of the cross. Despite the shortcomings of his disciples, Jesus still loved them unconditionally. How does this passage show the disciples that Jesus loved them until the end? Mark chapter 14, verse 50, verses 71 and 72. And they all left him and fled. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. Jesus loved his disciples so much that he gave his life for them. However, when Jesus went to the cross, his disciples abandoned him and ran away. One of them even denied knowing Jesus. Eventually, the Jewish leaders and people turned away from Jesus and killed him. Despite the fact that the disciples claimed to believe in and follow Jesus, they too abandoned him and ran away. This left Jesus completely alone as he went to the cross. As believers, we sometimes also abandon Jesus and live our lives without him. However, despite our unfaithfulness, Jesus still carries our sins to atone for them. He loves sinners like us and loves us until the very end. He willingly carried the cross alone because only he could achieve our salvation. This is why we have hope. Dear saints, we will never fully understand why Jesus loves sinners like us so much that he gave up his life for us. However, what we do know for sure is that he demonstrated his unconditional love for us on the cross. He allowed us to enter heaven and spend eternity with him, receiving God's love forever. This is why the gospel is always good news for us, because it is not based on our own actions or merits. No matter how great our sins are, God saves us by his grace. It is up to us to repent and believe in this gospel, to place our hope in it, and to know and enjoy God's great love even more. In today's text, we see Jesus' love for his disciples demonstrated in the Last Supper he shared with them. This communion table also serves as a reminder of Jesus' love for us. At this table today, we are reminded of the love of Jesus, who loved sinners like us until the end. Though we may not fully comprehend the extent of Jesus' love, we hope that God will grant us the grace to better understand and experience it through this sacrament and the message of the cross. May we love and rejoice in Jesus and strive to live for his glory. Ultimately, only the love of the cross will endure, even when we enter heaven. Therefore, we must hold on to Jesus and his sacrifice until the end, for he is our only hope. The Gospel of Mark, and indeed all of the Bible, directs our attention only to Jesus on the cross. It encourages us to focus solely on Jesus and to rely solely on him. Jesus calls not only those who abandoned him, but also those who left him, those who ran away from him, those who betrayed him, those who denied him, and all those who feel hopeless in their sin. He calls everyone to come to him. No matter how great or serious our sins are, when we come to him with a repentant heart, Jesus never rejects us. Instead, he lifts the heavy burdens from our shoulders, forgives us through the grace of the precious blood that he shed, and raises us to live for him. In today's text, Jesus forgives, loves, and restores all the disciples who abandoned him and ran away, even those who denied him. I hope that we too can hold on to his love and grace and live our lives for him. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. As previously mentioned, the bread and wine that Jesus gives symbolize and confirm the body and blood of Jesus and directs us to Jesus' death on the cross. By partaking in the bread and wine, we are accepting Jesus, who gave himself entirely on the cross. And by becoming united with Jesus, we can receive all the grace of salvation that Jesus accomplished. This is the everlasting blessing of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" In Deuteronomy chapter 16, God instructed the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, where they would eat a meal and remember how God saved them from slavery in Egypt through the blood of the Lamb. God wanted them to remember this and look forward to entering the promised land of Canaan. Similarly, as Christians, we remember how Jesus saved us from sin, death, and Satan's grip when we participate in communion by eating the bread and drinking the wine. Just as the Israelites gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and bring their lambs to be slaughtered, we gather in church to participate in the Lord's Supper and sing praises to God. In today's text, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, sings hymns, and prays before being arrested and crucified. In verses 22 and 23 of today's text, Jesus gave bread and wine to his disciples, symbolizing his body and blood that he would sacrifice on the cross and offered thanks to God. He thanked God for saving us through his death. However, in the following incident, when Jesus prayed with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he mourned for the pain of the cross where he would be cut off and abandoned by God. He prayed that the cup be taken from him. This shows that the cross was a great source of pain and sorrow for Jesus. Despite this, he accepted the cup of wrath, knowing that it would bring us blessings. He prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done," and went to the cross to give himself up. Today we participate in the cup of eternal blessings, and it's essential to remember that Jesus obeyed God to drink the cup of wrath, which led to him giving us the cup of blessing. Therefore, as we participate in this Holy Communion, we should mourn our sins more fervently and thank and praise Jesus for sacrificing himself for us. In verse 24, when Jesus shares the cup, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." This same statement is also found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" In this passage, Jesus gives his disciples a cup and says, "The new covenant in my blood." This new covenant is different from the old covenant, which was also established through blood. In Exodus 24, a similar event occurs when the Israelites receive the law from God through Moses and make a covenant with him. First, God's commandments were proclaimed, and the Israelites pledged to obey him. Then Moses offered burnt offerings and peace offerings to God, sprinkling the blood on the altar and the people, establishing the old covenant. Even then, the words Jesus spoke in today's text were already proclaimed. Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." In the Old Covenant, the blood of sacrifices was used to establish an agreement between God and his people. This covenant was made through Moses as a mediator, but it didn't last long and was broken because the Israelites failed to obey God. Therefore, God promised a new covenant that would never be broken and save his people forever. This promise was given even in the Old Covenant. The new covenant was established by the blood of Jesus, and it is through him that we are saved. The shedding of his blood was necessary because it represents the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. This is explained in the passage from Jeremiah chapter 31, which is well known to us. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Jesus proclaimed the fulfillment of a new covenant that will never be broken by the sins of the people. This new covenant promises complete forgiveness of sins and that God will not remember their sins again. The people with whom God made the new covenant will now know and believe in the God of love and grace. God himself came as the mediator of this covenant, obeyed the law on our behalf, and took on the judgment of the covenant curse so that the covenant would never be broken again. Jesus fulfills the new covenant and gives us only the eternal blessings of heaven, where there will be no more curses or judgments. This is the reality of the new covenant fulfilled by Jesus. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we can experience the reality of the new covenant that Jesus fulfilled and discover our place within that new covenant. Although we will continue to sin until we die, there will be times when we abandon Jesus and run away like the disciples. When we repent and come forward with faith in Christ, he will always accept us, and we will enjoy the blessings of the new covenant. This sacrament tells us about the most blessed reality of the new covenant we enjoy, which is communion or fellowship with Jesus. Through this sacrament, we get to see him face to face, eat and drink, and share loving fellowship. In chapter 24 of Exodus, which we just looked at, After the blood of the covenant was sprinkled between God and the Israelites, and the old covenant was made, several events followed. Exodus chapter 24, verses 8 through 11. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hands on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. In the Old Testament, even after the establishment of the Old Covenant, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel were called by God to ascend Mount Sinai. There, they saw God's glory and enjoyed fellowship with Him through eating and drinking. Despite their sinful nature, God did not punish them, but instead had communion with them. However, this fellowship was not complete at that time, as not all people could enjoy it. Additionally, those who participated in this communion had to come back down from the mountain. In contrast, the new covenant is different. All the people that Jesus saved are invited to Jesus' table, where they can share in fellowship and eat and drink together in His presence. This is not limited to a physical location like Mount Sinai, but rather takes place in Mount Zion of heaven. There we can experience eternal fellowship with God's love without ever having to come back down. This is possible because God has made it an eternal reality for us to always enjoy. Those who repent and come to Jesus with faith will never be judged. Instead, they will be embraced with perfect love by Christ and given the closest and most intimate fellowship with Him. We always share the closest fellowship of family, eating and drinking at the same table as if we see face to face. This is the blessed reality of the Lord's Supper in which we participate. He allows us to enjoy the reality of heaven even on this earth. So the Lord's Supper is not only a place to remember the death of Jesus, but also a place to share heavenly communion with Jesus. Mark chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. These words of Jesus tells us that there will be a day when we will eat and drink with Him in heaven. Jesus eagerly awaits that day and wants us to live with hope for it. Until then, He will protect and guide us until the very end. So, dear saints, is there anything more precious than the bread and wine that symbolize the body and blood of Jesus? Is there a more precious moment than when we share the Lord's Supper with Him by receiving His sacrifice? Let us gather together at this table to offer our praise and thanksgiving, eat and drink the bread and wine that Jesus has given us, and enjoy the heavenly fellowship with Him.